You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage, theinternetadvisor.net. You'll discover past podcasts, our free toolkit with software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and many other resources. You'll also find links to mitechnews.com, our co-sponsored weekly tech and entrepreneur newsletter, edited by Mike Brennan. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact button on the homepage and send us an email with the details. And don't forget to look for us on Facebook and Twitter and at Detroit's newest podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor. Welcome aboard. It's the second hour of the Internet Advisor. I am Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of the program. We've got folks in studio here who have been helping people for a long time. That's Shane Hamlin, Ed Riddell, and Gary Baker is with us as well. I'm here to help you. But what we need now is your questions at 800-859-0957. Please don't be bashful. The first person in gets right to the calls. 800-859-0957. Thank you so much.
You have to forgive us.
Sorry about that.
Internet Advisor, and we were just talking about the Wonder Woman movie and the whole DC comic books.
Gotham. And
There you go, folks. Now you know what happens behind the scenes here.
We're trying to talk Foster into going because you just said you just saw, what was the show?
The Martian.
The Martian, which was with Matt Damon. He's always being rescued. And Saving Private Ryan. Let's save him. Let's save Matt Damon from Mars. I mean, that was the big...
In Interstellar, they saved him, too.
Yeah.
He was in Interstellar
that's right,
as well.
That's right. But I've heard that...
no one needs to save Wonder Woman.
The Martian, no. The Martian apparently was an excellent book as well.
Yes.
Did you read it?
Or? I read it, and it's just as... It's better than the movie. Of course, most books are. But it's written by an engineer.
Yeah.
And he wrote this as he... I think he was a NASA engineer. And he wrote this.
Oh, really?
And it's so easy to read if you're of an engineering mindset, because because he logically steps through all the processes of, you know, from spaceship to, you know, how to grow potatoes on Mars. It was just...
That is fascinating. But by the way, our number now is 800-859-0957, and Dee will be with you in just a moment. Just to remind you that our mantra here, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And just before we went on the air, Eric Dortch, who was our engineer during the first hour, was telling me that there have been like three people who have called in and said, can we call in right now? And that was during Dean Krauskopf's gardening program. Well, now is the time for you to make that call at 800-859-0957. And let's go to D in Rochester Hills. D, how may we help you? Hang on a second. We may need to make sure that we've got you potted up. And Danielle's going to do that in just a second.
It was the Martian about. I'm sorry, the Martian.
But she also has got a topic that's near and dear to my heart because of my having done exactly the same thing. So, D, are you with us now?
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you, D. I saw the issue that you're dealing with, and Gary and Ed, please do not break out in guffaws of laughter about this. Tell us what your problem is, Dee.
About 3 weeks ago, I spilled my coffee in the morning on my laptop keyboard.
Yep.
In the kitchen, and the keys don't work, and I have a password to get into my computer, so I have, like, no way to get into my laptop.
Oh, yes, you do.
And we've all done that.
We've done it, but you know what's worse is if you use sugar. Do you have cream or sugar in your coffee?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
No, why? Why, Ed? What is the significance of that?
If it was just coffee, it probably would have evaporated. It might have been a little sticky because of the caramelization during the evaporation process. But cream and sugar just gum up a keyboard like nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there any now the reason I'm chuckling about this is because I did this, oh my goodness, it must be years and years ago. You were with us at that point, I think, Ed. And I had been in Philadelphia on a business trip, had been sick as a dog, and just before I went on the airplane, I had a cup of tea that I was sipping on next to my laptop, and I had some sugar in it, sweetened it just a little bit, and I spilled that on the keyboard of that Dell laptop, and that's all she wrote.
Yeah, it's going to make you want to switch to Splenda, you know, really.
Okay, guys, seriously now, can we help Dee get back into her computer?
Yeah, very easy. Actually, what you're going to do is you're just going to hook up an external keyboard right to a USB port. Right.
An external keyboard?
Yeah, just take a regular old keyboard from a computer with a USB port, plug it right into the side of your laptop, give it a few seconds to detect the new keyboard and load the basic driver, and then all of a sudden you just start typing away.
So that'll work if the keyboard is attached?
Sure.
It'll work. Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, unless there's a key actually stuck down, but usually Windows, or I'm sorry, doesn't it allow you to power up with a stuck key?
No,
or actually at the login screen, it'll say, we've noticed that you struck this key 5 times. Would you like to turn on, and I can't remember the
sticky key.
Sticky key assistant.
And what'll happen is...
they're all sticky.
And never fear. I mean, we replace keyboards all day, every week, someone's spilling something. And I can always tell what it is when once I open it up. I can see if it was beer, coffee, wine. Wine is the worst. Wine is the worst.
Really? Milk is the worst because it sours and it's just...
It does smell. But you know what? It's not hard. Take it to where are you calling from again?
Rochester Hill.
Well, you're not too far from my shop right up there at Shaner and Hall Road. But, you know, you can take to any local computer store. It's very easy to replace a keyboard. Keyboards aren't expensive.
No, they aren't.
You know, probably under $100 fix.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, because it's like got the flat keys, it's attached.
No,
they can fix it.
Yeah, we can fix those as well. I mean, it probably should be taken apart anyway and cleaned all the gook out of it anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we have a electro clean that we use on circuitry and motherboards that really will clean the good, get it nice and clean for you.
All right, Dee.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right, Dee. Thank you so much for giving us a call. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry that you had this experience, but we'll see if we can...
Yeah, it won't happen again.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
Okay, have a good day.
All right, Dee, take care. That's... oh, man, do I remember that, Ed.
The worst experience I ever had was with one of these is when we had to have Dell come in to when I worked at EDS. This is years ago, and someone had actually spilt breast milk in there. Milk is bad enough, but breast milk. So it became a biohazard at that point.
Oh, no.
But it was under warranty. So the guy, he says, I get one of these about once a year, and he had to put hazmat suit on.
No.
With a respirator and gloves. And he,
breast milk.
Yep. And he was able to replace the motherboard, the keyboard, and he did it all.
In a hazmat suit.
Well, he was pretty geared up. He was sweating when he was done, but he had the respirator on, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Boy.
All right, Bob in Garden City and the rest of you out there giving us a call. We'll be right back to tackle your problems at 800-859-0957. It's the Internet Advisor. We're out there for you, ready to answer your questions. Hey, guys, I wanted to check on something with you before we get to our next caller. Bob from Garden City, we'll be with you in just a second. And Steve down in Wyandotte. Hey, and by the way, you folks out there, 800-859-0957. This works so well when you call early instead of everybody jamming up near the end of the program. So I'm delighted, and we'll get to those calls quickly. One of the things I wanted to say, and Ed, I think you and both you and Gary pointed this out to me, and Shane probably will agree with it. When you spill something on a laptop, just shut it down. Don't take it and try to like turn it so you're getting the liquid out, because
correct,
that could in fact then flow right straight into your hard drive and fry that or the motherboard or someplace else.
Yeah, shut it down, unplug it, shut it down.
Yep, and remove the battery.
Yeah, and I wouldn't touch the battery because then it would require you to flip it over most times, right?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Which would spread the liquid.
Just leave it there, unplug it, and if you've got a Lenovo, most Lenovos will have drain ports. Just let it drain.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, most Lenovos have a drain port.
Oh, that is really cool.
My tractor has a drain port.
Does it?
Yeah. I just discovered it.
You know, you say that.
I might have a drain port, too.
You say you don't pour that back out. You don't pour it back out. What is your last beer or something?
Yeah.
You want to pour it back to glass.
Or that Chardonnay that you wanted.
Oh, my gosh.
We're out of coffee at the office. Sometimes we have to dilute some keyboards.
Oh, dear. God help us. What you get from there should be sent down to the CDC, probably. All right, Bob from Garden City, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you?
Okay, guys. I'm having a problem with Microsoft Security Essentials.
Hmm.
I'm using that on a laptop with Windows 7.
Okay.
I'm connected directly to the modem. I'm not doing this over Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do an update, it goes probably a quarter to a halfway through, it doesn't go any further. When I try to back out of that program, it won't let me. It won't let me shut it down. I have to, back out of the computer. And I've tried it again, and I get the same results.
Well, do you have more than one antivirus program installed on your computer?
No, I do not.
Okay. Can Windows 7, you can uninstall Microsoft Security Essentials, can't you?
Sure.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. So you can go to Programs and Features in the Control Panel, or you could just go in the search bar, Programs and Features, or in the search bar, type Programs and Features, and then you could scroll down until you see the Microsoft Security Essentials, and you can actually uninstall it, and then go to the Microsoft website and re-download a fresh copy. I mean, that's the first thing I would think of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the other thing, Shane, what about, does Microsoft Security Essentials actually download to the same place that Windows updates download? I guess where I'm going at is, has your computer been receiving system updates, security updates from Microsoft reliably?
Yes, I have in the past.
So, in the past. But... Okay. Well, do you recall, did you get the one from the beginning of this month in June, to your knowledge?
I'm not really sure.
And you could check that out in the control panel, Programs and Features as well. And there's a tab in there for, what is it, updates?
Updates.
Yeah, and then you can actually sort once the list builds by date, and you can see if your computer has actually received updates. What I'm going for is I want to make sure your computer has been receiving security updates to see if, because Microsoft Security Essentials also gets its updates Windows Update. I want to make sure Windows Update isn't damaged, which can happen, which is a little more in depth of a repair.
You've got Security Essentials or Defender.
Essentials.
Okay.
Well, is that what you would recommend for people who have Windows 7? Because as I remember, it was the most robust.
Well, the thing is, I mean, as time goes on, I know he's staying with 7 for a reason. But as time goes on, he's going to find that he's going to be running into more and more of these kind of issues with 7, unfortunately. But like Ed said, just uninstall it and reinstall it. It probably corrupted the update file, corrupted somewhere, and that's the easiest and most logical thing to do. Mm-hmm. Or, it could be a virus too, stopping you from updates as well.
Right. So, there are some viruses that'll actually stop Security Essentials and also stop Windows updates. That's why I brought that up as well.
So would you run Malwarebytes then as a precaution for that?
Sure.
It's always good to run Malwarebytes. If you haven't run it in a while or have never run it, you could download it from malwarebytes.com or .org. They're both the same site now. Mm-hmm. And find their free version of it. And you can download it, run it, let it update, scan your computer. And if it finds something, great. When you're done, you can uninstall it. Yeah. You never use it again. If you install Malwarebytes, it's going to probably install a 30-day trial. Mm-hmm. Usually they play nice with each other, between Microsoft Security Essentials and Malwarebytes.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times, you mentioned last week that you had someone that, we had a listener that called in, and then you knew the answer, that they got a brand new computer, and it actually had 3 pieces of antivirus software running on there simultaneously.
And the problem was, they began to go to war, especially the antivirus programs begin to go to war with one another. So you should only have one antivirus program on, regardless of which one it was. Go ahead.
Excuse me. I have used that. I have scanned with that, and I have done the scan with the program itself, Essentials, and came up with nothing.
Okay,
maybe I should, instead of doing a quick scan, maybe I should do a full scan with Essentials.
Yeah. And the other thing you could do is do a disk check. So this is Windows 7. Does Windows 7, Shane, automatically do like a health report on your disk drive? Or would it be beneficial for him to go into My Computer, go on the C drive, you right mouse click on the C drive and select Properties, and then you go, there's a tool tab there, and you could say, scan my C drive for disk errors.
Unfortunately, I've ran the disk in and found that it went through fine, but there was problems with the disk.
Okay.
A lot of times, when you do you're booting your computer, it'll do a quick test of a disk real quick.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's possible he's got a bad sector where the actual Defender, the security software, is installed. That could be causing it. But I would, the first thing and the easiest thing is uninstall and then reinstall. That's the quickest, easiest thing to figure out.
Yeah, try that before you tinker around with other things, unless you enjoy tinkering. Okay, Bob.
Okay. Let us know. Let
Thank
us know.
You very much.
Let us know how it turns out for you.
Yeah, please do. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for being with us and for asking that question, helping other people as well. All right, let's go to Steve in Wyandotte. How may we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Hello, guys. I always listen to your show. I'm a heavy user of Chrome, and I know they've been pushing a lot of the extensions, and I know Microsoft is pushing their Windows 10 with their IE stuff, and but I'm not going to go on that. But what kind of things should I be using that maybe I'm not using on Chrome?
I'm a Windows Edge. I mean, I use Chrome.
You use Edge?
I use
Chrome, but I don't use any additional add-ons.
Well, like, I use a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some people that use the password add-ons. There's people that use the pop-up blockers.
Nice. AdBlock is nice. Yeah.
I have a ton of them. Matter of fact, I have Evernote on there. I've got LastPass, which is my password manager. I've got AdBlock. Mm-hmm. I've got something from Amazon. There is just a ton of them. And there's if I'm not wrong, let's see. Let me go into this. There's a store, isn't there? There's a Chrome for, yeah. If you go to the right-hand side, you see those three dots, what they're called, the hamburger?
Okay.
The, you know, that drop-down there? And then you go to where are the
okay. Someone hasn't had dinner. I've never heard it called a hamburger before.
And I'm hungry too.
But those three little horizontal lines.
Yeah,
they look like, they look like a hot dog.
No, they look like a hamburger. No, I just can't get it out of my mind now.
If you're hungry enough, it looks like it. I'm trying to see. Guys, help me out here.
Yeah, I'm loading Chrome.
More tools. More tools. Save page.
That's why Chrome does.
Oh, here we go. If you go to More Tools on the right-hand side there, there is a button that says Extensions. And when you click on that, it will take you to the extension store, essentially, mm-hmm. The Google store, which will have, just tons of stuff in there. They have AdBlock. Add this.
Well,
Amazon.
Maybe we have some. We probably have some listeners that might have some favorites that they just can't deal without. You know, you can have news scroll across and
Skype.
I
mean, Skype.
Yep. There's tons of stuff that you can have on there.
But this, then, you know, I've run across people that have so many. I'm saying, you know, it's time to give some up. You know, 30 extensions is just way too much. You know?
But if you want extensions and you want to know what's out there and available, go to the far right end of your Chrome browser, and then those three dots that are there, click on that, go down, and you can find and go to More Tools, and then under More Tools, go to Extensions, and it'll take you to a page where you can find, my Lord, there are just dozens of these things that are in there, eBay, you name it, it's got it in there, but there's all sorts of resources there that you can...
Yeah, and it sounds like,
I'm just curious, so... Do any of those extensions eat up your cache or your memory or anything like that?
I mean, they all use up memory because it's a program.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
And so they can affect performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I mentioned that some people I know, they've just had so many. But, and then you have to review them every once in a while because they will start using memory. You know, every tab you open is 50 megabyte. You know,
50 megabytes.
Yeah. It's gobbling up. Yeah, it's going to be gobbling up resources. Wow. So keep that in mind. But go through there, and the ones that I have installed are ones that I use on a regular basis. Okay, my friend, take care. Have a great weekend, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Back with the rest of you in just a moment. I want to thank Danielle Mason, who was our ace engineer during this hour of the program. Danielle, thank you for being there, and she's also our producer, answering questions for you and getting you online, like Dorothy from Warren. We'll get to you in just a moment, but I want to remind you that our phone lines are open right now for your current problems, whatever that may be. It may be with a printer. It may be with your cell phone, it may be with your computer, whatever it is, we'd love to give you a hand. And we've got some folks in studio that have had lots of experience putting hands on computers and getting some solutions. One of them is Shane Hamlin. And Shane, your store is in Sterling Heights.
Sterling Heights at 18 and, oh, 18, oh boy. Shaner and 19 Mile Road in Sterling Heights.
That's right, Shaner and 19. And look for it in a little strip ball there. Do a great job.
And it's called
Comptech.
Comptech Service. That's
so,
right.
Computer and technician put together Comptech.
Very good. Yeah. And you can find him out there. He's helped lots and lots of people from our program who have gone out there and have gotten great service. By the way, I want to mention this. Not only do we you know, promote and encourage you to visit local stores like Sheen's. But if you go to internetadvisor.net, if you go all the way to the bottom, you'll see a little off to the right-hand side, a guy who looked like a nerd. And next to him, it says, Trusted Local Computer Repair Shops. Those are shops that you folks have recommended to us, like Shane's Place and some of the other ones. Because I think that there's a huge advantage to getting to know a good local repair shop, Shane. The big boxes are nice for discounted prices on equipment. Yeah,
it's like a good hardware store where the old guy's in there, and he knows where every nut, bolt, screw, and washer is, and he goes in the back, and he gets the part you want for your appliance. Yeah, it's just like that.
I just had that happen. Matter of fact, this week, there's a hardware store called Friends, R-A-F-F-R-E-N-Z, in downtown Royal Oak, and I had a problem
He was running it now. Friends and Sons,
I had a problem with a certain part of my drill, and he said, just bring the whole thing in, and I'll find something to replace it.
The big box don't sponsor our show. So, I tell you what, I'd stay away from them because you're not going to get the service you need there.
Yep.
You're just not. I mean, I found out at one place, someone came in, a lot of these big box places aren't even carrying the standards anymore like they had at one time, like a solid state hard drive and things like this. They're getting harder and harder to find in these stores.
Really?
I couldn't believe it. But, I've got customers from the show. I've been doing the show for a long time, and they come in all the time, regulars from the show, and they just come in and just want to say hello or just have a question.
Yep.
It doesn't charge you. It doesn't cost anything to walk in the door.
No.
In fact, half of the people that walk in our door, we sit and chit-chat about their computer, and they leave not paying anything. I mean, it's just the way it is.
But that's how you build that kind of relationship.
Correct.
And so if you want to take we have them from all over. Matter of fact, down into Toledo, we have some recommendations there. As far out as Jackson, we have a couple of recommendations. And all over metropolitan Detroit, you'll find that, again, if you go to internetadvisor.net, down to the bottom of the page, Trusted Local Computer Repair Shops. Click on that. And Tom Lawrence was in from one of those places the other day. And great, great service that they can give you out there. Okay, that's just a reminder for something that's available to you all, all the time. But I also want to encourage you right now to give us a call at 800-859-0957. The bell will ring on the door. Danielle will get you in line, and we'll get you on the air and get some help for you. So let's say hello to Dorothy from Warren. Dorothy, how may we help you here?
I have a problem.
Yes, ma'am.
I have an Asus computer that's about 7 years old.
Okay.
And when I went to put on, I get this message. It says, recovery. Your PC/device needs to be repaired. The boot configuration data for your PC is missing or contains errors. Then it tells me file, colon, backslash, boot, backslash.
Yeah.
B is in boy, C is in Charlie, D is in David.
Mm-hmm.
Then it gives me an error code.
Yeah.
And it says you'll need to use recovery tools. If you don't have any installation media like a disk or USB drive, contact your PC administrator or PC device manufacturer.
Yeah. That's a legitimate error message.
Okay, good.
I take it you have Windows XP?
No, this is
7?
10. I have 10.
Oh, you have 10.
That's
an old school error message. I haven't seen that's a blue screen message, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen those in a while. So you probably upgraded your
I did. I had 7 and I upgraded to 10.
And having a 7-year-old computer, I don't know how well 10 would have taken to your computer.
It worked for quite a while.
Yeah.
And then I got this message. I bought a new computer.
Okay, good.
But I have some Windows documents on there Word documents that I would like to get off. How can I do that?
Well, that's not a hard thing to do at all. You can either do it yourself, or you can, like we were talking about, take it to a local computer store, and they'll do it for you.
Okay.
It's not expensive to have done. You can get what they call an external hard drive case, an enclosure case from the big box store or even a store like ours, and you'll install it. It takes probably about 5-10 minutes to put in, and then it creates this little, it turns into an external drive, and you would plug that into your new computer. And that'll show up, your drive will show up as a new drive letter in your new computer, and you can just copy the stuff you need.
Yeah, there's usually a YouTube video that you can go and say, I have a, and who's the manufacturer of your computer?
Asus.
So you have an Asus, and it's a laptop or desktop?
No, it's a laptop.
So I have an Asus laptop hard drive removal.
Yep.
And you can watch some 13-year-old pimply-faced kid show you how to remove.
I'm sure.
And usually a hard drive is about 3 or 4 screws. You can get to them. They're usually under a trap door that's got a couple screws.
Now, you're talking about the hard drive in her current laptop, and the laptop that's giving her trouble right now. Okay.
Some of the least expensive, lesser expensive laptops were encased and closed, and you have to actually crack it apart to get to it. But if it's one of those things, then you can bring it to somebody, and they'll do it for you. The thing that I'm worried about is hopefully the hard drive, because the error message you're giving is showing that there is some hardware issues with your machine, and hopefully your hard drive will boot up and run so that somebody can recover that data.
So what you're talking about essentially is doing heart surgery on her laptop and pulling out that hard drive. But it's not hard.
But very inexpensive as well. I mean, not an expensive thing to do. It doesn't take a ton of time.
No.
The big thing is to make sure that your hard drive is working, is going to allow us to retrieve that data. So what I would do is don't turn it on no more. Leave it. Don't shut it, shut it off. Until you are able to get it serviced or do it yourself.
Yep.
Right. And it's
I will take it to Shane.
Okay.
Good. That's fine. It's fine to have somebody else do that because they can do it very simple. I was going to ask you how experienced are you at getting inside of your computer? And
I am not.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Listen, and I'm the type of guy that if I can show you or teach you how to do it yourself.
Yeah.
That's empowerment to you, and it gets you, makes you feel better about your computer experience.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But if it's something you can't handle, then you let me know and I'll take care of it for you.
And what we're also doing, and we're talking to you about this as well, we're talking to a lot of other people, thousands of people who listen to the show.
Of course.
So that if they feel, comfort, like I wouldn't have any problem flipping a computer over and, matter of fact, I've done that, hunted for it, pull the hard drive out, get that external drive,
treasure,
and then just plug it into another computer and pull the stuff off the drive I needed. It's that simple. And when you're done with it, you feel good.
I have grandsons that probably do.
There you go. Get that next generation working for you.
Okay. It's an external hard drive case.
You can get an external hard drive case, and I'm gonna do a public service announcement for all his technicians and all his tech guys. Normally, I would say, contact your friend or your grandson, but I'm that guy in the family that people call, and when I get phone calls and I know exactly I haven't heard from someone in 6 months, and I know exactly why they're calling, I kind of sometimes resent the phone call.
I think it's probably worth just bringing it to you and have you fix it for
me. Because, I am that guy that every family member calls to fix their computer, right?
Okay.
And I'm like, oh boy, I haven't heard from Aunt Shirley in a while. I wonder what's wrong. Shane, my computer's not working. Well, hello to you too, right?
All right. Have an apple pie ready for me when I come out there. All right. Thanks, Dorothy. You take care.
Thank you, guys.
All right. The number here, by the way, again, we have about 15 minutes before the end of the program. We'd love to help you, and unusually so, this end of the program, we are light on calls, and we'd love to take you in here. So if you've been wondering, should I give a call or not, this is the time to give a call. 800-859-0957. When we come back, Shane also, and we can talk about preparing for electrical storms coming
Correct.
Up. And that's something you do want to think about for this summer with some violent storms that have come through this area already and will be coming through.
Yeah.
Be careful out there. We've got some advice for you there as well. But again, that number is 800-859-0957. Hey, by the way, I want to thank Danielle Mason again for a great job she's doing answering phones and engineering our program. Thank you. And Shane Hamblin, thank you so much for being in here.
Always.
And helping out with the program. Ed has been here, and we've also had Gary Baker online from down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, we were chatting during the break, you're saying we need to talk a little bit about preparing for upcoming electrical storms.
Yeah, it's the season now. I mean, there's storms. Just this past few days, we've had some electrical storms whip through. And I always tell people, this is, every year you have that time of year where you change, where your the hour goes forward or back.
Yeah,
and you change your
batteries.
Same thing. You need to, every couple years, you need to change out those power strips and surge protectors.
Because more than likely, they've protected you and weakened.
I like to tell people to think of a power surge, a surge protector power strip as some flypaper. over time, the flies get stick to it, and then it fills up with flies, and there's no more room for flies. So now the flies can get right through, okay?
Oh, okay.
Same thing. These, every time there's a bolt of electricity or a short or a surge, they take a little bit of a damage that prevents that from coming through. And over time, those capacitors or caps, whatever they're using, are gone or shot.
I'm guilty of that. I have surge detectors that are 20 years old because I like having six outlets behind that desk. Yep. And you're right. I haven't changed mine.
And I tell people, I said, you know, at least I would say every 3 to 4 years to be safe. If they don't want to do it every
couple years, I don't think about that. That's a very good point.
Don't run off to the dollar store, Dollar General, and get yourself a $2 surge protector because you want a power strip and surge protector combo.
And that's what you're plugged into is a $2 general. in the studio here.
But that's just probably a power strip. That's probably not a surge protector.
That's correct.
That combination.
You want to make sure it's protected to so many joules, whatever the 2,500 joules, whatever the protection is. You want to have some protection there. You're going to spend probably somewhere a good one that's going to be a safe one to use, probably somewhere in the $19 to $20 range.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you don't want to skimp on this because. Yeah. You skimp on it, you'll pay for that with a big hit.
Well, we're just not talking about computers. We're also talking about your TVs.
Yeah.
Think about it. You just paid $700 for that 60-inch TV, and you got it on a 30-year-old surge suppressor. You think your homeowner's insurance is going to take care of that? No.
No way, Jose.
No, not without that $500 deductible unless you carried a separate policy. You know,
correct.
Am I speaking from experience? No. I've heard horror stories.
And most of those surge protectors will have a warranty slip where you have to make sure you register it.
Yeah.
So you're protected. So if something happens, some of them have a $50,000 protection limit on them. Mm-hmm. So make sure you fill out the paperwork.
Yeah, and put it in there. Good idea. All right, let's go to Anthony from Flint. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi, I have a Lenovo laptop. It's probably about 5 years old. Mm-hmm. It's been Windows 10 for a while. It was one of the higher end when I got it. So I don't think it's necessarily too old or not powerful enough for it. But since one of the last Windows 10 updates towards the end of May, it's been having a hard time starting up. So it just kind of sits at a black screen for anywhere between like 15 minutes to like 12 hours.
Whoa!
So I think it's just from what I've been looking at, more of an some kind of issue with the Windows update.
Yeah.
I was able to, you know, keep it going, you know, being able to turn it on and stuff like that. I just kind of had to wait. But I did realize that every time I went to shut it down, it would say update and shut down, but then it would never actually update.
Mm.
So it was that's what kind of tipped me off to the update thing. I did recently run a Windows update checker or fixer, and it did do the updates. I've been afraid to turn it off since, though, because that time took me quite a while.
Well, good for you for finding the Microsoft Fix-It article on the Windows update fix. That's great.
Let me ask you a quick question. Are you all the way up to the creator's update?
I believe so. Yep.
Yeah, if you look, you know the way to tell is if you look at your little shield that protects you, your antivirus shield, you'll have the little icon over the shield now.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm driving right now, but I'm pretty sure that was what it was.
What is the icon that's there, Shane?
It's before you just had the plain white shield.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a little green and blue little icon on it, so when you click on it, it actually opens up and looks a little different. But you can tell immediately by looking at the shield icon, if there's a little green emblem over it, then you've got the creator's update, and that's where you want to be. Most likely, I'm going to tell you what's going on is, one, you either have a virus, or two, one of the updates drivers, something is hung up.
Yep.
It's not processed. You know, the drivers in jiving with your system being a little bit older.
Would that fix have fixed it, the one that Ed, you were talking about, that he downloaded?
Well, it sounds like he went to the Microsoft site, downloaded the tool to repair the Windows update, and that's one of the things it does is... and it may have fixed it. We hope so. Don't know. I mean, because
managed the update. It got through it at least. So
how much memory is in your system?
I think it's got a terabyte hard drive.
There's
probably 300 gigs left, maybe.
What about memory? Like 4 gigs, 2 gigs,
eight gigs.
Ooh, yeah, you got a top of the line.
Yeah.
I did. Probably an i5. It's an i7.
Wow, even better.
You should have no problem running whatever you want to run on that machine.
Yep.
Probably more likely, You know what happens? I tell people all the time, computers aren't perfect. Sometimes drivers hang up or the program doesn't install properly. Try even doing, if you do go to reboot and you do have the continue to have this problem, try to step back and go back a few months, you know, back prior to May and do a,
System restore.
Restore back a few days.
Okay.
And see if that takes care of it.
Yeah.
Because then you know something.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, something mm-hmm. happened.
Something with the
and then maybe with the new, then we reapply those updates, then it'll probably work again. You know, it'll start working.
Okay.
Just all right.
Give it a try after that. All right, yeah.
Let us know how it turns out.
Yes, please do let us know how it turns out, all right?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Let's see if we can get James in here before we wrap up. James from Detroit, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a question on Kodai and other streaming services. What's the latest news on them?
Oh, Kodi on the streaming service. You know, I haven't actually fired mine up since summer because I've been I hang out outside. I don't know. You know, a lot of vendors, Kodi gets away with it because it doesn't actually stream the software. It just points you to sites that allow you to stream the video player. So
what
I
is
really,
it? I haven't heard of this.
Oh, I've told you, but it used to be known as Microsoft or Xbox Media Center, XBMC.
Oh.
And then they went through a name change and allows you to, you could download various plugins, if you will, that allow you to stream TV to your computer for free.
It's called Kodi, KODI.TV. That's the address that I'm seeing here.
Right.
Am I right on that, James?
Great, great. So they haven't made it illegal or...
No, not
illegal. Well, I see what you're asking, yeah.
You know, I don't know if they haven't, because they're dancing a fine line. They're providing software that allows you to stream your own media and stuff, and then you can download add-ins that lets you stream BBC and other illegal streaming stuff. But,
well, it's open source code, so it's for everyone to use, and they, you know, you open source stuff, people have go with it and have fun. I mean, they can do all kinds. I mean, you're using it for Raspberry Pi stuff. There's application for that they're using for.
Yeah.
Tons of things you can use it for.
Yeah, I have my smart TV, and I loaded Kodi on it because it's an Android application.
Yeah.
I can watch Kodi on my Android phone or my iPhone and on stream live radio
First
stations.
First time hearing
live.
Of this. That's fascinating.
And, you know, I'm sure the FCC doesn't like it too much, but,
right.
You know.
Well, as it stands right, I'm looking, for instance, the add-ons that they have there. James, I don't know if you use any of these. There's Plex, Rooster Teeth, Pluto.tv, SoundCloud, which I'm aware of, View, which is the PlayStation, and then there's Home Run TV and all sorts of other ones out there. Wow.
Right, because one of the things that's happening up by me is they're going to actually cancel some of the sports stations, so I won't be able to watch live Tiger baseball anymore. It'll be a paid subscription through Charter.
Wow.
And these guys actually have some fairly large sponsors behind them.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
they do.
You know, with Alienware, which would be Dell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. NVIDIA as well. I mean.
And so again, folks, explore it for yourselves, KODI.TV. And James, as far as we know, I haven't seen anything here that would indicate that there are problems, but I don't take that as an endorsement, folks.
Right.
I would suggest you explore it yourself.
Right, because I had a Russian buddy. Russian, but that doesn't come out right. I had a guy that I work with that was from Russia that lives in Canada now, and he told me about it 6 years ago.
That still doesn't come out right.
Okay, I'm just going to shut up.
James, how has it been for you?
It's been hit or miss. I guess I'm on the add-on Exodus, and it was working great earlier this year, and then it had an update, and it kind of phased out.
Yeah, you know, I'm telling you, what I had to do many times is actually uninstall it and reinstall it again, because those add-ons have to be updated all the time.
All right, James, we've got to head out of here, but thanks so much for giving us a call on that. Something new you learn every day. Thanks so much for being with us here on the Internet Advisor. Look for us online at internetadvisor.net.